Rogue On Show with Anna DeBlantis. Richard Roper is here. And so is Brett Baer. You know, we're rolling out the A-team here, Brett. That's what we're doing today. We got everybody in place.
Well, when I was Richard, I was almost like, well, I don't know if I have time.
I heard there was a rumor you might walk. You might pull a Dan Rather with the U.S. Open. I don't need this.
All right, so this is interesting. We're hearing that there is, at least in Illinois and at least in Chicago, we can only report on what's going on in Chicago and Cook County at the moment, that there is a pretty significant switch in terms of numbers of Democrat ballots and Republican ballots, and that Democrat ballots are down by about a third. And this was as of, I think, 1 o'clock this afternoon. So I have not seen the last 3 hours. We're going to get another update coming up in about 20 minutes. And you've got Republicans up about 25%. That to me, I think it bodes well for Trump.
I think so. I think, listen, it tracks, those numbers track with what we've seen in other states up until now. And largely it's about Democrats down roughly 30%, state to state. It depends, but roughly that. And Republicans in some states have been up as much as 60% as far as turnout goes in these primaries. So the increased turnout seems to bode well for Donald Trump. But, you know, listen, the get-out-the-vote effort on all these guys, Ted Cruz put a lot of time in Illinois, especially in the suburbs.
Well, Brett, you know, here in Illinois, in the Chicago area, we're hearing reports of severe weather coming in. Now, most of the polls could be close to closing, but you never know if that's a factor. Some people feel a lower turnout helps Bernie Sanders on the Democratic side because his supporters are so loyal. But as we've seen in Michigan and in other states, this is one of the strangest presidential campaigns in the history of history.
Totally. I mean, it's unlike what we've seen, I would say, in decades, possibly ever. Both sides are really up in the air. When you look at Michigan, heading into Michigan, Bernie Sanders was down 20 points in some polls, 20 points heading into election day, and he comes out and wins it. So I think anything can happen fits on both sides of the aisle.
I got Bernie Sanders coming up in an interview in about 30 minutes, and we recorded earlier today, and a little bit of his insight into that. He has an explanation for what happens there, for why all of a sudden the polls are not showing, and the ways that he views media moving forward, which is fascinating.
Wow.
Because I think that
both
of these guys, both Trump and Sanders, have rewritten the rule books concerning...
We're throwing out the rule book.
Yeah.
I mean, from now on, it is completely different. And, you know, they've tapped into an anger. They've tapped into a frustration about the way Washington has not worked on both sides of the aisle, and an anti-establishment kind of mood throughout the country. And both Sanders and Trump have tapped into that on the issue of trade, on the issue of immigration. Obviously, they come from two ideologically, you know, different points, but they've really captured that that feeling.
Things have changed so much just in 4 years, Brett. I wonder if some of these legacy families and some of these longtime political families are going to rethink the next generations. Because if you're a Romney, or look at a Jeb Bush could have run the same campaign, you know, 4 or 8 years ago and been a serious contender, and it was like he was an afterthought in this day and age.
It's truly amazing. I mean, if you looked at all of the pundits of what everybody was saying at the beginning, the very beginning, here is Jeb Bush with a war chest of more than $100 million. I mean, it's insane. And with all of the backing of the Bush family and the legacy, and he ran into a buzzsaw. He ran into an environment that was exactly opposite of that. And in any other year, I think you're right, if you look backwards. I think Ted Cruz was going to ride the outsider wave. He was going to be the guy that was going to tap into the anger. And then Donald Trump had it.
Well, you look at Hillary Clinton, and you know, between 08 and this year, she's sitting around going, who do I have to email to become president around here?
I see what you just did right there. Yeah, there you go. That's how it rolls. Hey, the thing that is interesting, though, too, is that Trump has done something. It's been tried before. He tried that sort of punch your stupid nose down your dumb throat populism that Pat Buchanan tried in the 80s, that you saw the and into the 90s, that you saw George Wallace attempt to do. That's not and what he did is refined it by using every television technique that he learned being a reality TV star. And basically every time some story broke about him that was bad, he found a way to say something so outrageous that became the news story. And even though there every day there's at least a dozen, and I don't think I'm exaggerating here, a dozen stories about things that he was either inaccurate about or that are unflattering to him, he seems to ride that even higher because his supporters think, well, of course, that's the kind of lies that those people in the media tell. I mean, he is the media, and he's the one explaining that the media is all, they're all really, really, really bad. He's in on his own joke. It's amazing to me, but it's working.
It's astonishing. I mean, he is a master of manipulating the media, and he's done it throughout this campaign. He's done it in big events, as you mentioned. He's done it by saying things that take the eye off of what would have been the story, and he becomes the story and owns it and then rides that wave to very loyal supporters. The supporters who vote early are the ones that Donald Trump has locked in for, months, that they're on his side. I mean, they're very, very loyal.
Brett, is it frustrating to you and some of your colleagues who rely on facts and on making sure the record is set straight to see, someone like Trump, and it's not just Donald Trump, it's a lot of the candidates say things that are absolutely not true, sometimes are urban legends, or he holds up a piece of meat and he says it's a Trump steak, even though Trump steaks haven't been around, and it doesn't have any, it seems to have no effect on the populace. And I know for me, sometimes that gets frustrating because, like Michael Steele was just on with us, and he says, well, people just say, well, that's your truth. And I'm like, but that's the actual truth.
Yeah, there is a truth in there, and the problem is that fact checking, you can do it all day long, and we try to do it real time when we're doing interviews and say, wait, that's not the case, or but sometimes it's rapid fire. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you took an event where you could pick apart, I think Politico actually did this for hours, and they looked at all of the things that were said and then fact checked that, and it's more emotion and less facts sometimes. It's how he says it rather than what he's saying.
Right. If you have 20 mud pies and you're slinging them at the rate of 3 a second, you can't dodge all of them. Some of them actually stick.
He's like Elf in the snowball fight is what he's like. I mean, they're coming out so fast.
But, that said, he's said he hits the cord and he ends up on his feet. It's kind of like a dismount on a gymnast. Yeah. He ends the landing by saying, we're going to make America great again. And people say,
build the wall or whatever it is.
Figure it out.
And, they happened upon something, I'm assuming accidentally, and it's really working for him. It's this airplane hangar press conference. It allows him to live sort of the life he wants to live. He gets to live on board his plane, doesn't have to get off, doesn't have to touch a lot of people, doesn't have to, get driven into somewhere. And, they've got it orchestrated perfectly where the plane arrives, like Air Force One, and it rolls up into a camera shot that shows the Rolls-Royce engines on it and the silver plating and gold plating of the winglets and all of it. And it's sort of, you get the sense of, there's majesty about him, right? And he descends.
The imagery there, Ro, is meant to portray that he's already there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He's already got his own Air Force One,
right.
Trump Force One. And he, he's already got the trappings. He just, now he's going to make America great again. And he stops at these events. He then gets in the news cycle. He added an event in Ohio yesterday, late in the day. And, obviously in that local paper and the local newscasts, he was the story.
Yeah. Wow. It's going to be very interesting what's going to happen here. Tonight in Illinois, obviously Ohio and Florida are the ones to watch. If Trump sweeps here, it's pretty much all over. You'd agree?
It's still, it gets into the weeds of math of delegates, but if he sweeps tonight, he has to win 53% of the remaining delegates of the states that are remaining, which is very possible because several of them, about five of them, are winner-take-all, and the other ones, they divide up, but he could definitely do that.
But if he loses Ohio,
one of the two, if he loses Ohio, it becomes 64% that he has to win to get to the magic number of 1237. And we're going to spell that on the show tonight, but it's a little tougher when you have the rest of the party saying, we're not sure about Donald Trump.
All right. All right. Watch for Brett Baer throughout the night. This is a man who doesn't sleep this time of year. May never sleep. May not sleep until January of 2017.
Maybe not. It's going to be an interesting year.
It sure is.
How are you going to sleep then, though? That's the that's the question we're all going to want to know.
We'll be on this show talking about something else.
We'll all be talking about something else. But it'll be. Let's just hope it's okay. Let's just hope it's not. Here's how you get to the bunker. All right. Thank you very much, Brett. Appreciate it.
All right, there he goes.
Brett Baer. See him tonight on the Fox News channel. I don't think he's doing a special report. I think he's just doing election coverage, but maybe he's doing it all.
All of it.
I don't know. The man does not.
There'll be a lot of zooming graphics and cool things happening and shocking developments.
Right.
I love all that stuff.
I like also Wolf Blitzer. You can tell when there's a projection coming because his beard changes to pure white. And then it goes back to salt and pepper after the projection. It's very weird.
I believe he can actually climb through that big giant monitor now and just be in the state. And now here I am in Illinois.
I'd like to see if Wolf can actually climb up the side of a wall, sort of like the marsupial he appears to be.